We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Pony Express.
I don't think it's daunting at all. We go to Toronto and, you know, this is what we do for a living. We play basketball. So we look forward to playing another basketball game in an exciting atmosphere, the ultimate test, NBA Finals. So I think we look at it as a challenge. Obviously, we've got to lick our wounds tonight. Tough loss, but you know, the game's a few days away. We'll have plenty of energy, and we'll be ready to go.
All right, everybody. Andrew Filippone coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. On the eve of Game 5 of the NBA Finals, which might be the last game the Warriors play, like as we kind of know them, this unit, this dynastic team, running out of time together, quite possibly. And Steve Kerr on the uphill battle the Warriors are facing as they try to come back from down 3-1. It's only happened one time in NBA Finals history, and that, of course, was when LeBron James brought the Cavs back from down 3-1 to beat this Warriors team, 73-win Warriors team. In the 72-year history of the NBA Finals, there have been 34 series that after four games were looking at a 3-1 situation. 34 NBA Finals. Of those 34 NBA Finals, 18 of them that were at 3-1 ended in 5. 13 of them ended in 6. So there's a good chance, if you go by the history of the NBA Finals and use that as a guide, that the Warriors will win at least one more game in this series. But their chances of coming all the way back and winning 3 in a row are close to 0. And yet, I would not pronounce them dead. I don't think the Warriors are technically dead. I think the doctors come in to check on them, and there's still a faint pulse. There's still a little bit of a heartbeat. And the medical professionals that are looking at the Warriors' body have decided that it's not time to pull the plug yet. And I say that knowing that there's a better chance than not Kevin Durant is done for these NBA Finals, that the Warriors are going to have to do it with Thompson, Curry, Draymond Green, Iguodala, Bogut, Cousins. I could keep going here and name their entire roster. That team is going to have to do it without Kevin Durant. And I think Game 5 is really going to be the pivotal game in this series from in this respect. If the Warriors win Game 5, Game 6 will be back at Oracle, and it will be, win or lose, the last game in Oracle Arena history. Is Golden State going to get swept at home in these NBA Finals? I think it was reasonable to ask Toronto to go there and win one game. I think it's surprising that the Raptors went there and won two games. I think it would be close to impossible to demand that the Raptors win all three games played in Oakland. They've already done their job there. They've already done their job and then some. So I don't think the odds are in Toronto's favor to go back to Golden State and win another road game there. So if that's the case, if you follow me on this, if Golden State can stay alive and win Game 5, I think they'll win Game 6, and if the series gets back to Toronto for a Game 7, if the Raptors have lost 2 in a row and suddenly the series is even, and they're at a standstill. At that point, you'd have to favor the Warriors to win the championship because of experience. Because they're used to where there's a will, there's a way, and the Raptors' history up until now was still a tortured one. And I think playing at home in Game 7 would actually be detrimental and would work against the Raptors. Because for all of the great energy that's been inside the Raptors' home arena for these playoffs, as electric and crazy as Game 1 seemed, and it transferred over even more than I thought to Game 2, even though the energy was sapped out of that building when Golden State went on an 18-0 run to start the second half. I think it will be just a madhouse tomorrow night. And if the Warriors can somehow overcome that, they'll be favored in Game 6, and then there will be nervous energy, and there will be more anxious energy in that building for Game 7 than there will be excitement and optimism. So the hardest game, in my opinion, the hardest game the Warriors will have to win from here on out is tomorrow. And that's why I feel like if Golden State can win tomorrow night's game, I believe they will come back and win the series. It's obviously, by definition, it is a do-or-die game for the Warriors, but in a weird way, I think the same thing is true of Toronto. They won't sweep the Warriors in Oakland. They won't win all three games at Oracle. And if it comes down to Game 7, anything can happen game, will you favor the team that's won three out of the last four championships? Or will you favor a Raptors team that probably right now feels like it's there for the taking? They can almost taste a championship. If they lose the next two games, I don't see them buckling down and standing tall and winning a Game 7. The other thing the Warriors have, and by the way, Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio, you can join the show, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You tell me, are the Warriors dead? Do you think the dynasty is over? Do you think an era has ended? Do you think the Raptors are in complete control of the series? Do you think it's over? At 855-212-4227. If you think it is, tell me why. If you think it isn't, give me your best reason. This Warriors team has erased a 3-1 series deficit. Draymond Green talked about that. We've been on the wrong side of 3-1 before, and we've come back to win. And if you remember, didn't happen a decade ago, just a few years ago, the Warriors are down 3-1 to Oklahoma City, to Kevin Durant and company. In games 3 and 4, the Warriors lost by a combined 52 points. They lost game 3 by 28. They lost game 4 by 24. So they were down 3-1, having gotten blown out in back-to-back games. Now, Game 5 was in Golden State against the Thunder that year. Klay Thompson scored 27 in that game. Andrew Bogut, had 15 and 14. They got an unlikely contribution. And I think that's what it's going to take tomorrow. You've got to have 30-plus from Steph Curry. You're going to need Klay Thompson to chip in between 25 and 30. And then you're going to need a third player to be an X factor. And I think there are plenty of candidates for that. Iguodala, Draymond Green, and DeMarcus Cousins. One of those three players needs to have a big game. Cousins was excellent in Game 2. He's looked terrible in Games 3 and 4. Iguodala, going into Game 2, hadn't made a three-point shot since the Houston series. He was invisible against Portland. He bounced back in that game. He's been so-so since. So it's a given that you're going to need a huge game from Curry. You're going to need Klay Thompson to revert back to being one of the five best shooters and one of the 20 best players in the NBA. And then you're going to need somebody else. You're going to need a glue guy. You're going to need an X-factor player to step up. This will be the toughest test for them. Because if the series goes back to Golden State, you'll have the Warriors wanting to win one more for their fans to send that arena out on a high note. Now you might say, well, Andrew, they probably should have felt that way about Game 4. You're right. But getting beat twice at home and getting beat three times at home are two totally different animals. The Warriors lost twice at home in the LA series. So we knew it was not out of the question. As far as the Raptors go, they've only lost three straight games one time this year. And that was back before Thanksgiving. Kawhi Leonard played in all three games. They got beat by the Pelicans and Pistons at home. And then they went to Boston and lost on the road. So it can be done. I put in a bet on the Warriors this morning. I think it's plus 450. I live in a state. I live in Pittsburgh. There's legalized sports betting here. I went and took advantage of that because, man, if the Warriors win Game 5, I think they'll probably be maybe like plus 150, plus 175 to win the series. So they're a long shot. They should be. They put themselves in this situation. You know, they were too banged up to win Game 3, and then they just ran into a buzzsaw. Toronto couldn't miss in Game 4. So, you know, I think, you know, logic tells you that Toronto is ready for a party and that there should be a huge celebration there Monday night. But I'm not ready to give up on the Warriors yet. I don't root for them. I'm not coming at you from a place of bias or subjectivity because I've always wanted the Warriors to be the next dynasty. I don't have a Steph Curry jersey in my closet. I'm not a guy who worships at Kevin Durant's altar. But I think there's value in them because they've done it before. And Toronto's never been there yet. And they'll have every advantage tomorrow night. But then it'll get dicey from there if they can't win. Andrew Filippone coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 855-212-4CBS. Are the Warriors dead? Do they have any shot at coming back in this series? What do you think? 855-212-4227. What does Kawhi Leonard do? And does the result of this series matter? Regardless of what happens, should he return to Toronto? Some new information on that front. Plus, the latest adventure in sports betting. One thing sports bettors like to do is risk a little to win a lot. And a guy in St. Louis is living that dream tonight, like really never before. And if you haven't heard about that story, you will next. I'm Andrew Filippone. You can follow me on Twitter, @ThePonyExpress, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter, @CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Pony Express.
Okay, later this hour, Kawhi Leonard. Can he leave if the Raptors win? How would sports fans, basketball fans, how would their opinions of Kawhi Leonard change if he wins and leaves? One and done in Toronto, show up, win a championship, and then leave for, I don't know, the Clippers. How would you feel about that? What would your opinion on that be? We'll discuss that next hour. Or excuse me, later this hour. Next hour, we have NBA Finals Game 4 television ratings have come out. And I don't think Adam Silver likes what he sees. So what's up with that? Why are fewer and fewer people watching this NBA Finals? And I don't think it's just, well, the Raptors are in Canada. I don't think that that's the simple Occam's razor. There's a team that is an international team in the finals. I don't think we should just write it off and say that that's the reason why. Tonight, game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals. The Cup is in the building in St. Louis. That franchise a win away from its first Stanley Cup. And Scott Barry, Of all the now famous blues fans who are out there, John Hamm, who used to be on Mad Men, the actress who played Pam from The Office is another big fan. Of all the St. Louis blues fans, I don't think any are bigger than Scott Barry. And there are tortured blues fans there who have been with this team for, heck, now 50-plus years. And watch St. Louis go to back-to-back-to-back Stanley Cup Finals as an expansion team, but that was when the NHL split its conferences, the original six, and then the second wave of expansion had its own conference. And so for the first 3 years, the Blues would go to the Stanley Cup Final as the expansion representative and got its butt kicked. So Scott Barry, I found this on the Action Network's website. Scott Barry's a Blues fan who was out in Vegas in January, and when the Blues were in dead last, 31st out of 31st, looking up at everybody in the entire league, not just last place in the division, last place in hockey, he bet them to win the Stanley Cup at 250-1. He put $400 down on that. He is in position to make $100,000 if the Blues win Game 6 or Game 7. Now, the most interesting thing about this to me is there are so many ways now where you can guarantee yourself money. There are websites where you can post your betting slip. So he was at a sports book in Vegas. He could post this on a site and sell it and guarantee himself lock in big profit. He could also go to a bank and get a personal loan or find some higher interest loan to get the upfront money and bet on the Bruins. He could do it himself. I mean, it would be worth it to fly to, even if you can't bet legally in Missouri, either drive to a state or fly to Vegas and cover yourself, protect yourself. And yet, he's not doing it. He is letting it ride on the Blues to win the Stanley Cup, which, that might sound cool, but seems very irresponsible to me. The only way I think it's acceptable, and I don't know this guy at all, I haven't heard him really do a lot of interviews. I haven't seen him quoted much on this, other than just kind of very like basic standard, I'm a huge Blues fan, I really hope they win, it would be awesome, this is the ride of my life, that kind of stuff. I don't know his financial background. If he's rich and he's just doing this for the rush or the buzz, and like the money is of zero object, it does not matter if he wins $100,000 because he's a multimillionaire. Well, that would be one thing. But if this is just an average Joe, your average American who makes between like $50,000 and $60,000, although that would be hard to believe because I don't think a guy making that kind of money would make a frivolous bet like the Blues, 250-1 at $400. I don't think most people just have $400 to give away. My guess is he comes probably from some means. He's getting a lot of, I guess, publicity or even some quasi-celebrity for doing this. But the right move here is to wager maybe 25 to 30% of what you're going to win. So come up with 30 grand and bet it on the Bruins, and you'll get good odds on that right now because they're the underdog. They've got to win the next two games. And that way you can kick your feet up and relax. And if the Blues win, your favorite team, the team you grew up rooting for, the team that you've lived and died with, and the team that has supplied so much heartbreak over the years, you have not only the ecstasy of watching them win a Stanley Cup, but you make a huge profit. If they lose, it's not a double whammy where they get their hearts ripped out again on the brink of winning a Stanley Cup, and to boot, you watch $100,000 go away. You flush $100,000 down the toilet. So he's saying he's not hedging, but I have a hard time believing that. That would be very irresponsible to just say, ah, the heck with it. Who needs 100K? I'll keep the. He's going to every game. I've seen that. He was in Boston for Game 5, and he's back in St. Louis for Game 6. The tickets for tonight's game in St. Louis are insane. Like, we're talking about, in almost all cases, most cases, the tickets are going for more than the most expensive tickets at last year's Super Bowl. So that's what 50 years of losing will do. Fans want to say that they were there. They want to say, I was in the building when it happened. The same way, I think on like StubHub and SeatGeek and some of these secondary ticket websites, outside of the NFL and the Super Bowl, the biggest game in the history of the secondary ticket market since it's gone primarily online. So now that the ticket scalping industry is now mostly digital, the toughest ticket since that transition has been Indians-Cubs in Cleveland, Game 7. Because there was 100 years of losing for Chicago, and for Cleveland it was, what, 60 or 70 years for the Indians without a World Series win. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Coming up next, can Kawhi Leonard leave if the Raptors win? If Kawhi Leonard delivers the first NBA championship to the people of Canada and Toronto, should he leave? Can he leave? How will fans feel about it? I wonder how Raptors fans would feel. Would NBA fans feel like it's, I don't know, kind of a guy wins a championship and then cuts and runs, says, the heck with this, I'm out of here, for greener pastures? Is that going to rub anybody the wrong way? 855-212-4227.
You're listening to the Pony Express.
You just got to be patient with it, you know, not really. You know, we were 2 games away, 4 games away. It doesn't matter until you get that fourth win. You know, we just have to stay confident in ourselves, be patient. Don't try to rush things and see how it plays out.
Now, there's Mr. Excitement for you, Kawhi Leonard, at the podium after one of the best individual performances in NBA Finals history. 35 points and 0 turnovers. That's a Michael Jordan game. And he doesn't have the Gatorade commercials or the movie with a bunch of Looney Tunes characters like MJ and soon-to-be LeBron James. But that's the kind of game he turned in. An all-timer on the road in the NBA Finals to put his team up 3-1. And the speculation about Kawhi's future is not going to go away until he says, I want to stay here in Toronto. This city has wrapped its arms around me. They have bought in to my load management belief, keeping me fresh, not overtaxing me, not overworking me. They gave up a lot to get me, including one of the biggest players or biggest names in franchise history. They sent DeRozan packing to make this happen. I really admire the Raptors that they were just so bold that they, for a rental, and fired a coach who led them to the most wins in the Eastern Conference last year, and it wasn't good enough. So they gambled, and it looks like they're going to win. They're into the driver's seat to win their first NBA title. Now, Bovada, which is a sports betting website, a sports book online, has changed the odds. They now favor the Raptors to re-sign Kawhi. Now, this is news because 2 weeks ago, another one of these sports books had LA number one, had the Clippers as the team that was offering up or had the best chance of signing Kawhi. I think what Doc Rivers said on ESPN praising Kawhi added to that speculation. It was a pretty generic, innocuous quote from Doc Rivers just describing the strengths and the many talents of Kawhi, and the NBA fined him for it. Said that it's basically tampering when a coach talks about an opposing player like this. I think the NBA, you know, they're not living in a cave, or the guys who run the league office like Adam Silver, they don't have their head buried in the sand. They know that the rumors are out there that that's where Kawhi wants to play. Respects the coach. Bought a house in between L.A. and San Diego, where he's from, where he played his college basketball. So from a quality of life, or from a where do I want to spend the majority of my time, where do I want to live, L.A. seems to have some advantages over Toronto. Now, what I think, and I've touched on this before, and it's worth updating now because of the state of the series, the state of the NBA Finals. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. It's much easier to leave a team after they lose in the finals than it is after they win. I cannot think off the top of my head. I can't think of one time an NBA Finals MVP or a player who was widely considered the best player on an NBA championship team left of his own volition the following summer. We've seen guys win championships and then Hall of Famers win titles and then retire just right off into the sunset on top. Michael Jordan did that twice. David Robinson did that in San Antonio. I've reached the summit. I've won it all. There's very little for me left to do. I want to get on to the next thing in my life. I'm done, and they leave. We've seen that. We've seen players come close and leave. LeBron James, twice in Miami and Cleveland. The Spurs knock off the Heat. He goes back to the Cavs. The Warriors sweep Cleveland. He goes to LA. Yeah, when you come up short, when you're a runner-up, it's easy to leave. You can't tell me, you can't convince me of this. If the Thunder beat the Warriors in 16, if they hold on, after leading that series 3-1 and beat Golden State and then get the Cavs in the NBA Finals and win, something tells me Durant and Russell Westbrook would still be together right now, at least Durant would be there. Now, maybe Westbrook would say, this town isn't big enough for the two of us. I've got to go to the Lakers, or I've got to go to the Clippers, or I've got to go, take your pick, to the Mavericks or the Heat or something. I mean, I guess that would still have been in play. But I don't think there's any way Durant just would go to Golden State after leading the Thunder to a championship. A result of a playoff series not only changed the course of NBA history for that season, but it changed future seasons because it influenced a guy's decision in free agency. And I just wonder if Kawhi Leonard, who doesn't seem to be bothered or perturbed or even the least bit aware of what people are saying about him, when he sat out and missed pretty much all of last year with an injury that, according to Spurs doctors, wasn't that bad. They cleared him to play. And I don't think veterans like Manu Ginobili or the coach there, Greg Popovich in San Antonio, did Kawhi Leonard any favors. They didn't make it seem like Kawhi was totally compromised and unable to play. If anything, they made him sound like he was a baby over it, that it was in his head, that he was being overly precautious, that he was listening to the wrong people. And Kawhi didn't lash out, or he didn't take to social media. He didn't have one of his agents or one of his people start a war against the Spurs organization. He just kept his mouth shut, got traded, and now he's a win away from capturing another championship. So I guess what I'm saying is, if there was ever a player that was going to be a pioneer in this respect, lead a team to a championship and then leave a month later, I think Kawhi Leonard would probably be the player who's wired, or the player who's mentally either strong enough or aloof enough to handle it. I mean, think about the guys who have won championships and then had decisions to make thereafter. I think about another one. If the Lakers somehow beat the Pistons in 04 with Shaq and Kobe and Karl Malone and Gary Payton and that all-star team that they put together, if they win, something tells me Shaq isn't playing in Miami the next season. They find a way to work it out. Kawhi Leonard, I think, kind of marches to the beat of his own drum and is just totally in his own world and on his own planet and is so unlike the vast majority of professional athletes, specifically professional basketball players today. Today's NBA players obsess about every little thing that the sports media world and people outside of the organization say about them. Victor Oladipo, the Pacers guard, admitted that when he was in Oklahoma City when he was younger, he said, I would you know, turn the ball over, I would miss a bad shot, and I would hear somebody on press row, I would hear a reporter make a comment about it, like, oh, that was an ugly pass, or oh, what a terrible shot. And Oladipo said, that would get in my head. I'd hear a reporter say it, and I would go in the tank, and I would oftentimes struggle for the rest of the game because I was too concerned about other people's opinions. And I don't think Kawhi Leonard is that type of guy. I don't think he's going to get ridiculed in Toronto either way. Let me be clear about that. If Kawhi Leonard comes to the Raptors for 1 year, goes to the Raptors for 1 year, and his present or gift to that franchise is their only NBA championship, I think he leaves and they kind of just thank him for the memories. Because it's something that was so unexpected, the trade in the first place, and then to go on this run, I believe Toronto fans who are more rabid about hockey and are probably less prone to hyperbole and are probably less inclined to rip professional athletes and make things personal, my guess is that the Raptors fan base will remember him fondly for the one season. Even if Kawhi goes to the Clippers and, you know, he plays for a team that is maybe the third or fourth best team in the Western Conference next year. I don't think there will be any bad blood or ill feelings. I think the national sports media, I think the national basketball media will be like, why is he doing this? Why would you leave the best team in the NBA where you've got everything? You're not really in a pressure cooker where there's a heat lamp on you all the time. You're kind of up there in Toronto and it fits Kawhi Leonard's personality because it's not like playing for the Lakers or the Knicks or the Celtics where there are eyes on you and microphones in front of you at all times. And you can kind of fly under the radar a little bit in Toronto. And I don't think you're totally invisible up there. I mean, Vince Carter sold a bunch of sneakers and kids put a bunch of his posters on the wall in the United States while he was playing for the Raptors. It's not like when they were in Toronto, people didn't know who Tracy McGrady was, didn't know who Chris Bosh was. But it isn't as intense. I'd be lying if I said it was as hard or as demanding as playing for the Knicks or the Bulls or the Lakers or the Celtics or one of those teams. So the organization and the city seem to fit Kawhi's needs, but he's a tough guy to get a read on. And if he leaves, I think people will say that he's picking a team or an organization or a city over basketball. What's best for Kawhi Leonard from a basketball standpoint, it's probably returning to the Raptors. But there's not going to be a ton of turnover off that team. We'll see what happens to Milwaukee in the offseason. Can Philadelphia re-sign Jimmy Butler? Can the Knicks or Nets quickly piecemeal in free agency a team that is good enough to contend and compete with Toronto next year? I would say that's unlikely. Maybe one of those teams becomes a 45 to 50 win team, but I think asking either of those teams in 1 year with a quick kind of ad hoc free agent team, I think it would be really difficult for one of those teams to just jump up and compete for an NBA title next year. So if Kawhi comes back to Toronto, they're either the favorite or the co-favorites or right there to win the NBA championship again and repeat. But who knows with him? I'll say this. If the Raptors win, Kawhi Leonard will be the MVP, and he will become the 12th player in NBA history to win multiple NBA Finals MVP awards. And when you see the list, it's, with the exception of maybe Willis Reed, who was a really good player, but with the exception of Willis Reed, the rest of the guys here are easily top 20 players in NBA history. Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaquille O'Neal, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James. You add Kawhi Leonard to that list, he could make the claim. I would argue that Kawhi Leonard right now is the best player in the NBA. And I wouldn't have said that before the playoffs started. I would have gone with Giannis. I think the injuries have caught up to LeBron James. I'm not sure he is still hell-bent on winning another championship. I think he's got other things going on in life right now. I don't believe that LeBron is of singular mind to try to win a championship again. James Harden isn't the best defensive player. So I think there's a pretty good case to be made that Kawhi Leonard is number one right now. And if he wins the NBA Finals and takes Toronto there for the first time and joins this exclusive club that I just referenced, then despite his introverted personality that doesn't exactly sell tickets or sell jerseys, I think his basketball will speak louder than anything else. On that front, next hour, we're going to talk about the NBA Finals ratings, because the Game 4 ratings have just come out in the last few hours, and I don't think Adam Silver is going to be pleased with this report, some of the numbers I've got in front of me right now. I want to also get into what has allowed for Kawhi Leonard to go off on this torrid run in the playoffs. A lot of it has to do with something that used to make us as sports fans cringe. Something that I think used to get most of us upset about, but maybe his wild ride here through the playoffs has changed opinions on that long debated conversation. You can follow me on Twitter at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. Here with you 7 to 11 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 2 Eastern every Sunday. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.